Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And if you are a YouTube user, make sure you enable notifications so you're notified every time a new episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast goes live. While you're at it, if you are sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game, stop immediately. Go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create your wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users totally free. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, you want your name in the shout-outs like Harold in St. Louis and Mike in Lansdale, then make sure you shoot over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast and sign up today. Don't forget, we have loyalty rewards. $15 a month contributors get to co-host an episode of Going Live, and our $7.50 a month contributors get entered into a drawing to do so as well. Welcome to this episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. We'll be taking questions, comments, anything you want to talk about in our chat feature of whatever streaming service you use to find the show. If you want to send us questions for a future episode, feel free to do so using the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line, 267-642-1160, or you can give us your questions, your comments, anything you want us to talk about off the air in our talk-to-text service. That's right. You talk, it texts it to us, and we will include your questions and comments in a future episode. We'll try to get to as many as we can in a future opportunity. So, don't forget, if you are new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, go over to our homepage at frowrestling.com where you can preview all the topics coming to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, and it's a great way to come up with the questions, the things you want to ask us when the shows go live. Make sure you tune into our live episodes, enable your notifications as often as you can so you're notified as soon as we go live so we can get your input into the show. And by the way, if you leave us a question in either method, please tell us who you are. We'd like to give you a shout out live on the show if you're tuning in. So let's make that happen. Guys, we are very close. We're closing in on our next goal as far as subscribership is concerned. We're looking at 1,500 subscribers on YouTube, and we're looking at 1,500 subscribers on Spreaker. And whatever services you use elsewhere, by all means, we're always trying to grow the brand. If you know somebody who might be interested in the show, please spread the word. We appreciate it. So let's get into the news of the night. First off, in case anybody missed our last episode, make sure you check out frowrestling.com for our end of year awards. I was really thrilled with the response that we got from our listeners. Thank you to all of you who are such loyal followers who tune in every episode. Thank you for casting your votes. You guys did a great job. Our wrestler of the year, Tommaso Ciampa, was a surprise, but a pleasant one for me. Our women's wrestler of the year was not a surprise. Becky Lynch, also a great choice, but there were so many other awards, and I thought you guys did such a great job with that. So I just wanted to throw that back out there again. Make sure you go to frowrestling.com, click on the link at the top of the page for awards, and see who won some of those awards, because you guys are the ones who created that. It was very cool. A lot of votes cast, so it's very awesome. In addition, if you're new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, we have our independent wrestling events tab at the top of our homepage where you can try to find some wrestling close to you that is by some of the smaller promotions, but that does not mean that they're not as good a quality. There's some amazing work on the independent scene, and we are huge fans here at the Fro Wrestling Podcast of independent wrestling, so make sure you check that out. Tonight's topic's very controversial right now, and it's really focused on one guy, and that's Kenny Omega, the now former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, the man who has done everything there is to do in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling, is essentially within a matter of a short period of time, some say within a week, some say by the end of the month, is going to be a free agent, and he's going to be making his next career decision very, very soon. And the question of conversation really is, where should that be? You know, the headline topic at the top of the page on frowrestling.com said All Elite Wrestling may not be the landing spot for two elite members, and those two members were Kenny Omega and Marty Scurll. Now, a lot of people have noticed that Marty Scurll has really done well for himself already in the absence of the rest of the elite members in Ring of Honor. He now established his own Villain Enterprises faction. I think that's something that could have some teeth and could make him a focal point of the brand going forward and for the foreseeable future, but his contract is coming up soon as well. He could re-up with Ring of Honor. If they're going to give him such a prime position, knowing his contract is coming up soon, maybe Ring of Honor is doing that for a reason. Maybe they really do believe they could retain his services. Not that I wouldn't love to see the Elite stay together. I would. But it is an interesting concept to take a guy who has not been world champion yet and put him in a position where he potentially could be very, very soon. So I'll be very curious to keep my eye on that and see where he goes. But the big one is Kenny Omega. Now, the word is that Kenny Omega, after Wrestle Kingdom, had his plane ticket paid for by WWE to come back to the United States and have a sit-down meeting with Vince McMahon and Triple H face-to-face. And the word on the wrestling scene is, you know, I've seen some sites, Wrestling Inc. and E-Wrestling News have reported that he got a substantial, or I think they called it a fantastic offer. And other sites have reported figures. So there's many sites that are reporting that Kenny Omega was offered $3.5 million a year to come back to WWE, or come back to the United States and wrestle for WWE. I don't know how Kenny Omega turns down that kind of money. I understand the potential for historic wrestling action with All Elite Wrestling. I get it. They're your friends. You love hanging with them. But people, we have to look at this from an objective position. And I'm not like Mr. like toot and blow the horn of WWE, but let's put things in perspective. All Elite Wrestling has not one show booked yet. All Elite Wrestling, with the exception of the premier talents that we already knew were going there, really hasn't announced anybody. Nobody. And the bigger factor that you have to think about is at this stage of Kenny Omega's career, he wants to make a historic impact. But how can you do that when you go to a company where all the talent is the same people you've been wrestling for the last couple years? Let's be honest. We've seen Kenny versus Cody. We've seen Kenny versus the Young Bucks in some variation one way or the other. We've seen him versus Okada. We've seen him against many of the Ring of Honor talents. So there's not a lot there. And even if All Elite Wrestling went out and they signed everybody who's not under a WWE umbrella, they still don't have a lot of fresh matches for Kenny Omega to have. So here's the reality. We can watch Kenny versus Cody all over again. We can watch matches like perhaps Kenny Omega versus, say, James Storm, Nick Aldis, people like that. Yes, we haven't necessarily seen those featured, but what we would really like to see, if you're a diehard wrestling fan, you really want to see Kenny Omega on the grandest stage of them all, WrestleMania, going against Seth Rollins. Or Kenny Omega at the grandest stage of them all going against AJ Styles in a WWE ring. You want to see those big matches. Heck, I wouldn't mind seeing Kenny Omega versus John Cena at WrestleMania this year. I want to put something in perspective for you. John Cena really doesn't have a great path to WrestleMania this year. Filming for his next movie starts in conflict with the Royal Rumble and with WrestleMania. So there's not going to be a lot of time to build up some big program with some established star. However, Kenny Omega comes in with mystery and intrigue. Let's face it, people. You and I, the people who listen to this podcast, they know. They're diehard fans of pro wrestling in all of its forms, and that includes New Japan Pro Wrestling, so we all know who Kenny Omega is. The vast majority of the WWE audience these days, the mainstream audience, the ones who only tune in on Monday and Tuesday nights to Raw and SmackDown, have no idea who Kenny Omega is. And that's the sad reality of professional wrestling right now. Here's the thing. Ring of Honor drawing in 100 or 200 or 300,000 viewers a week on their show, not enough. People in Impact Wrestling bringing in 100, 200, 300,000 in their best days this year, it's not enough. Lucha Underground, 300,000 viewers, maybe, if you're lucky. So what I'm trying to get at is that as much as we love Kenny Omega, and all of us who are tuning into this show know Kenny Omega, and we know he may be the best wrestler in all of the world, what the reality of the situation is, 2.2, 2.5, 2.7 million people tune in every week to Raw or SmackDown. And those people, the vast majority of them, don't have a clue who Kenny Omega is. Not that they haven't maybe heard the name. Not that they couldn't Google him and find out who he is. I'm sure if he showed up at the Royal Rumble, he would get as big, if not bigger, a pop than AJ Styles did. But here's the reality. All the matches in WWE are fresh. They're new. Most of the talents in WWE he's never stepped in a ring with, or if he did, it was so long ago, it's irrelevant. Seth Rollins had a statement out a few weeks back where he talked about if Kenny Omega were to come to WWE, how excited he would be, because when he was in Ring of Honor, they had a few tag matches here and there, but they never really got to mix it up in the ring, and how much he would love to have a match with the Cleaner. That's a huge compliment from a mainstream WWE superstar. You put on top of that, just go down the roster. I don't care if you're talking about people who are in main event programs right now or tertiary characters. I don't care if he's feuding with Xavier Woods over video game channels on YouTube. It's something no one has ever seen. If you want to put him in there with Daniel Bryan. That actually took place in Ring of Honor, but it was so long ago, they weren't the quality of wrestler they are now. They're so much more seasoned now. Think of what Daniel Bryan and Kenny Omega could do, or AJ Styles and Kenny Omega could do, Kevin Owens and Kenny Omega can do. That's the reality of where we're at right now in the professional wrestling world. Yes, indie wrestling is on fire. It's the best it's been in so long. But the reality of the situation is that does not translate to the mass media, and that's where the money is. Keep in mind, the $3.5 million that they want to pay Kenny Omega, that's just his downside guarantee. That doesn't count his merchandising, his distribution, his figures, his t-shirts, all those things. If you don't remember, only a few months ago, all the members of the Bullet Club were complaining because they weren't getting very much money from the marketing of their t-shirts when they're at Hot Topic. You know why? Because it's a bad deal for the wrestlers. It's all about exposure. In WWE, he would get a cut of all those things. In addition, factor into the equation the fact that he also is a huge video gamer, just like Xavier Woods. They've teased things on Up, Up, Down, Down before. They had the New Day versus the Bullet Club, or the New Day versus the Elite earlier this year, and all that in video gaming. That's something WWE could offer him a platform for that he does not currently have. I'm not telling you that I want to see the Elite split up and Kenny Omega not to go to All Elite Wrestling. I couldn't be saying the opposite more. But I'm looking at it from a business perspective. And when it comes down to business, I would love to see Kenny Omega versus Sheamus. Or Cesaro, Kenny Omega versus Big E, Kenny Omega versus almost anybody on the roster, Adam Cole. You know what I'm saying? Put him in the ring with all these premier talents. People have been complaining for years that WWE's been buying up all the talent on the indie scene. You know what? They bought up Sami Zayn, and he turned into a megastar, and he's going to be coming back soon. Can you imagine Kenny Omega and Sami Zayn? The kind of matches they could put on. Or I'll throw this at you. We'll rehash an old one. Kenny Omega versus Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. Take two guys who killed it in New Japan and put them on the stage at WrestleMania together and let them put on a clinic. Not like that garbage we got last year with AJ Styles and Nakamura at WrestleMania. That was crap. We want something fantastic. And that's what you can get from Kenny Omega in WWE. Everything else, I'm not trying to dump on New Japan. People who listen to this podcast know I love New Japan Pro Wrestling. It is the hottest organization in the world, if you ask me, as far as in-ring quality and skill. However, he's done it all. He's been in the Bullet Club. He's taken the title. He ended the 700 and whatever day reign of Kazuchika Okada. He had his match with Tanahashi, and in New Japan, you don't get a rematch, so that's out the door. He's wrestled Naito. He's wrestled Goto. He's wrestled everyone. Ishii. So it's time to move on. He's been a light heavyweight. He's been a heavyweight. He's wrestled in tag teams as the Golden Lovers with Kota Ibushi. He's done everything you can possibly do. It's time for the cleaner to broaden his horizons and become the megastar that he's destined to become and that he has the quality to become. And at the end of the day, in a couple years, 2-3 years, because WWE usually does a 2 or 3 year contract, I'm guessing they would want a 3 year deal. In 3 years, if All Elite Wrestling really turns into something fantastic, move there then. Let them get established. Let's face it, even though they would be the same matches, most likely in that event, after 2 or 3 years, we might want to see some of those old matches all over again. We might want to see a new rendition of it. Let's face it, if Randy Orton and John Cena wrestled tomorrow, they'd put on a clinic, and we've already seen that to death. But we'd probably still watch it. Okay, so my suggestion is Kenny Omega takes the deal with WWE and goes there after receiving this fantastic offer. That's what he needs to do. The executives for All Elite Wrestling, in case anybody didn't know, you have, you know, Khan is going to be the president. Cody, Matt, Nick Jackson are going to be the vice presidents. They're gonna cultivate this thing like it's their baby. You know, Cody's going to be laid up for a little while because of the knee surgery coming up. But at the end of the day, he'll be back in the ring. And they have 3 megastars, 4 if you count Hangman Page. But the reality is there's so much mystery around what's going on there. Now, there is conversation about them having a network home in the works right now. And that could be, believe it or not, as ironic as it sounds, TNT or TBS, where WCW Nitro or Thunder used to take place may end up being the new network home of All Elite Wrestling. I hope the executives at that company figured out that when they let WCW go, they really dropped the ball, because there was so much more that could have been done with WCW. Had Eric Bischoff and his purchasing group got the company, who knows where it would have gone? Well, you fast forward all these years, now All Elite Wrestling may be making their venture into that world and going on the TNT or TBS networks and seeing what they can do. And I believe strongly, because of amazing fans like you guys, including, I see, John the Sports Guy tuning in from Fort Stockton, Texas tonight. Welcome to the show, John. Always love seeing you, buddy. I miss John so much, I can't even tell you. But with all that going on, it would be so ironic for them to walk into, let's say, TNT, I believe Tuesday nights is what they're targeting for their show, and just tear it down. Just absolutely blow it out of the water. How awesome would that be? Now, I've seen a lot of conversation online about whether or not they would ever pose a legitimate threat to WWE. Absolutely not. WWE is a multi-billion dollar corporation. Vince McMahon's a billionaire just from having his stock options. They are worth more money than all New York sports teams combined. I remember hearing that stat when I watched Beyond the Mat the very first time. And the reality of the situation is they're a juggernaut that's not slowing down. Even with dwindling attendance numbers and pay-per-view buy rates down and ratings on television down, they still churn out the dough. They bring in the money, and that's really all that matters to be a successful company. So no, this is not a threat to them. All Elite Wrestling isn't going to come out with a movie production company or a sound studio company or an international distribution company that's going to create cross-branded companies like NXT UK, NXT Germany, you know, NXT South America at some point, in India and China and Japan and Australia and everywhere else. They're going to probably put an NXT. They're not going to do that. WWE is untouchable. They really are. Even if Vince McMahon were to keel over tomorrow, it wouldn't matter. It's so entrenched. Stephanie and Triple H will step right in, and that steamboat will just keep on chugging along. That's how powerful they are. Now, the reality of the situation is that they could be the number two company. Because let's face it, Ring of Honor, as amazing as they are, their TV distribution sucks. The Impact Wrestling distribution, the time slot's terrible. 10 o'clock is horrible. Lowest ratings they've been getting for years. And I don't see an end to that debate anywhere in sight, even though they're putting out some of the best product they've put out in forever. Johnny Impact, Johnny Nitro, Johnny whatever you want to call him this week, is a great world champion. Brian Cage, a great challenger, another great champion. They have the talent, Impact, but nobody has grabbed the Vince McMahon's brass ring and run with it to be the number two promotion. All Elite Wrestling seems like they've got the gumption to make a real go of this. Now, word is there may be some Hall of Fame talent coming to All Elite Wrestling in the form of Bill Goldberg, who is represented by the same agent who is going to be representing many of the other stars of All Elite Wrestling. I don't see him wanting to be an in-ring competitor, but he would bring some star power to the kickoff of their shows. Maybe he becomes like a general manager or a figurehead of some kind. I'm sure he wouldn't turn down a hefty paycheck from the Khan family to make that brand sing. But what I find fascinating today was the news that Chris Jericho has implied that he's staying with New Japan Pro Wrestling for some more matches. He even talked about how he wants to face Tanahashi for the IWGP World Championship. Now, what I think may happen, I think it's very obvious that Jay White is the next Gaijin or non-Japanese-born wrestler to challenge for the IWGP Championship. They did as much and set up as much at New Year's Dash last night, but the reality of the situation is I don't know if Jay White has anywhere near the drawing power as Chris Jericho, and putting Jericho into the world title picture might behoove New Japan. If they put out the right numbers, the right money, book the right schedule, that might be a fantastic long-term program for Chris Jericho, which would prevent him from going to All Elite Wrestling. And I know All Elite really wants Jericho. I know WWE probably wants him back as well, and you know Impact Wrestling is talking about him. So how do we fix all these problems? Well, one of the ways is today, earlier today, apparently All Elite Wrestling, Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling all came together to have a conversation about how to share talent. Now, I've got mixed emotions about this. The reason I have those mixed emotions is we've already seen that. Everybody who is signed on with All Elite was in Ring of Honor, and Ring of Honor had a working agreement with New Japan Pro Wrestling. So agreeing to continue to exchange talent does nothing except for give you more of the same product you've been seeing. The only thing you could look for All Elite to do would be give you better production value. Now, I would love to see them do some kind of co-branded situation, bring in the NWA. I would love to see them bring in Impact Wrestling and Lucha Underground, and almost in an NWA old school territorial unified kind of way, put on some of these mega shows, you know, like Super Clash 3, you know, when WCCW and AWA and all the horrible Continental and everything else came together for their pay-per-view. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But if you're talking about a weekly episodic show, All Elite Wrestling needs to build storylines and programs around their own talent. They don't need to be looking at someone else's talent and trying to put something together that just doesn't feel organic. You know what I'm saying? So we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. But right now, I don't really see where All Elite Wrestling has what they need to be able to accomplish all the goals they want to do in the short term. Hopefully, sooner or later, they get everything together, get a talent pool that's deep enough that they don't need to co-promote with a Ring of Honor or New Japan Pro Wrestling. I think maybe this is just for the kickoff of the company, but we'll have to wait and see. WWE kind of got on my nerves this week. They've been teasing this ridiculous dream match between Becky Lynch and John Cena on WWE.com. And I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. Like, for real, this is a guy, John Cena, who you have been promoting as the face of your company for the better part of the last 10, 15 years. And suddenly you want him to wrestle a match with a woman. No offense to cross-gender wrestling. However, when you watch those matches, like you watch Lucha Underground, none of the stars on Lucha Underground are so established that if a girl beats them, that you're going to somehow destroy a guy's legacy in the world of professional wrestling. John Cena is not a Lucha Underground star. This is not something where, quite frankly, if Tessa Blanchard beat someone like Joey Ryan, no one would have a problem with that because it's believable because of the star drawing power of those two characters. But we're talking about John Cena. I know he's got his best days are past him, and I know he's not long for the business, but that's irrelevant. You cannot job out a 41-year-old rock star, megastar guy who built your brand when business was down and kept you afloat for 10 years as your world champion and is ready to break the record held by Ric Flair for most championships. You can't put him in a match with Becky Lynch. Now, I know people are already going to tell me it was just a hypothetical and things like that. You know what the problem is with today's intergender match movement? Some fool out there is going to want to do that. They're going to want to put Becky Lynch in the ring with John Cena. And let's be honest, John Cena's ripped out of his mind. I don't care if he is 41 years old. If you don't believe me, check out Sheamus' latest episode on YouTube. Insane what John Cena looks like when he's working out and blown up. But you can't even begin to suggest to me that he wouldn't get in the ring, throw one punch, and put her out. I'm not trying to be mean to Becky Lynch. I think she's the best wrestler in the world right now as far as top draw. But John Cena's still John Cena. So I really wish WWE would stop teasing ridiculous nonsense. And as a matter of fact, earlier today when I saw that, I had seen it on the news sheets and all the different websites, you know, and I went on WWE.com myself to see if that was legit, and it was. And over 60% of the voters said Becky Lynch should win. Like, really? Like, I know you like the talent right now and you adore Becky Lynch, and who doesn't? But let's be real, people. We're talking about the 16-time world heavyweight champion John Cena versus a lady who's won, what, 2 SmackDown Women's Championships, and one of them really was just because they didn't know who to put the belt on the first time. Now, this most recent run, yeah, I get it. She's legit. She's over. She's going to get. And she only lost the title so she could challenge Ronda Rousey for the Women's Championship on Raw at WrestleMania and be the headline. I get it. I do. But she still can't beat John Cena. Come on, people. I know it's a work, but it's supposed to mimic real fighting. That's not believable. Not even a little bit. So I had to get that off my chest. Big announcement that I'm thrilled for this week was the announcement from Ring of Honor and the NWA announcing that on April 27th, they're going to bring back 33 years ago, the launch of the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup Tag Team Tournament. If you never watched it, go back into the network and watch it. It's awesome. Watching tag teams, 64 teams or something like that from all over the place. They came together. They had these huge tag team tournaments, usually over 2 days. And the first one was won by the Road Warriors. They defeated, I believe it was Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, and Magnum TA in the final. The second year, Dusty Rhodes and Nikita Koloff won. The third year, it was Sting and Lex Luger won. I mean, just great wrestling action, and it's something that WWE has never got on board with supporting the tag team division, and tag team wrestling has really tanked in recent years, with the exception maybe of the Young Bucks and the Gorillas of Destiny, and this is an opportunity for Ring of Honor and the NWA to really put an emphasis back on tag team wrestling. So April 27th, the Crockett Cup is coming back. The first team qualified last night at their pop-up event, the NWA pop-up event, where the War Kings, and if you don't know who the War Kings are, get on their bandwagon. Jax Dane and former Impact Wrestling star Crimson are a tag team that just kill it. Sometimes on the indie scene, they have Road Warrior Animal walk them to the ring and accompany them to the ring, and they are awesome. Dynamite tag team. If WWE's paying attention, they better watch out because they'll scoop them up in a heartbeat. Great tag team wrestling, and it's something I'm really looking forward to. So I can't wait to hear what other teams are put into the Crockett Cup. I would suspect all the Ring of Honor talent, maybe some New Japan talent because they do have that working arrangement. Who knows? Maybe the Young Bucks if All Elite Wrestling agrees to do some kind of co-promotion, but we'll have to wait and see. This next bit, I gotta be honest with you, I'm a huge fan of Mean Gene Okerlund. And yes, if you can hear in the background, that's Mean Gene's Tutti Frutti from the wrestling album back in 1980, whatever it was. And when I heard of his passing this week, I was really heartbroken because Mean Gene Okerlund was like the voice of WWE. He was the man who brought WWE from, you know, a Northeast territorial promotion, and he became the voice that people could identify with. Everybody who heard Mean Gene's voice instantly knew it was a professional wrestling show. They immediately associate him with Hulk Hogan. They associate him with interviews with like Randy Savage and the Ultimate Warrior and Andre the Giant and all these kinds of things. You think of Mean Gene and it puts a smile on your face. When you think of Mean Gene Okerlund jumping to WCW, I remember when they were parodying, WWE was doing parodies of his Hotline and the Huckster and the Nacho Man. Even Mean Gene was that important to that debate. And so the passing of Mean Gene, somebody said he passed and he's 76 years old. My first reaction, as horrible as it'll sound, is I was kind of shocked because Mean Gene, I thought he looked 76 years old back in 1984. But 76 just doesn't seem like a very old age these days. And it's sad to me that we're going to lose someone that amazing. And from the Fro Wrestling Podcast to the Okerlund family, I just want you to know Gene Okerlund was such a huge part of my early wrestling experience. He was such a recognizable character. And the one time I got to meet him in person after SummerSlam 91 when the Warrior faced Rick Rude. He was so approachable, so pleasant. He really is a great guy. So wrestling lost a hero this week. It's very sad, very tragic, but I know that throughout the duration of his career, he really did feel some sense of accomplishment because everything he did was gold. Everything he touched was gold. Every wrestler that he talked for an interview, they were better for having been interviewed by him. And I really think that the wrestling world pouring out their love and affection for Mean Gene this week, even that's not enough. Gene Okerlund, may you rest in peace, brother. You are an awesome superstar, and we will miss you forever. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode where we run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, goes out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects we used in our show. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side with this new game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy today. And to alleyrepair.com. Contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move and you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you so much for taking a few moments with us today. And if you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsj101sports.com for the latest articles on the world of professional wrestling, or head over to my blog, In Fro's Corner, located on frowrestling.com for my editorial pieces. Until next time, take care, everybody. Have a great new year and have a great night. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.